Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Ms. Interpreter, could you just tell us your name for the record?
My name is Victoria Bond.
Thank you. Mr. Moreno, could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is Guillermo Moreno, number 168514.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on January 2nd, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that form?
Yes.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you. Or you can represent yourself. So today, did you hire an attorney or will you represent yourself?
I did not hire an attorney. I'll represent myself.
Thank you. Am I going at a speed that's okay for you? Okay, thanks. Mr. Moreno, I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look to your right, so down that way, at the end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Down there, next to him, is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. On my other side over here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room, from representing the Department of Corrections, and your parole officer, the Honorable Mr. Turner. And you'll see Mr. Turner right there. There's Mr. Turner.
Okay, he's...
So he'll represent his parole officer. Got it? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Turner and Mr. Moreno, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Mr. Moreno, okay, and Mr. Turner.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Moreno, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. Okay? So for phase one, I will read the allegation from your warrant, and I will need you to respond whether it's true or false. Okay?
Yes.
So we'll start phase one. And the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directive of your assigned parole officer, by failing to report for a face-to-face contact visit at your approved residence, 718 East Carter in Phoenix, on or about November 21st, 2018, as verbally directed on October 11th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder in supervision. Mr. Moreno, is this true or false?
No, I thought it was December 27th. Back in November, yes, That part is true.
That is true.
I was at the store. I was just across the street at the store to get a couple of things, and the PO showed up at my mom's house at like around 9 o'clock, and I was just buying some things for breakfast. I was buying eggs and things like that, and I was going to go back home to meet my parole officer at 10. I meet him every month. I would follow my schedule very carefully. I had no issues. I was just at the store, and when I got back home, my mom said that the parole officer had shown up looking for me. It was very confusing because I thought that I had time. The paper that he gave my mom said failed to report. And I asked my mom what to do, if she could maybe call for me if I needed to pay another fine or something. And my mom refused to help me. She wouldn't call for me. And I didn't know what to do. I asked my sister. My sister was sick. She has cancer. So I didn't know what to do, how to get in touch with the parole officer. I didn't have any way to contact him. I need an ASL interpreter, and I didn't have one to communicate with my parole officer. Every time I see him, we have to write back and forth, and that's really hard for me. So I finally found a friend who said that they would do me a favor and help me figure out how to see my parole officer. I was on the way to do that, and you know, it just took longer than I wanted it to. So I was really worried that I would be in trouble, that they were looking for me. But finally, a friend of mine recommended that, you know, excuse me one second. Just one second. My friend offered to let me borrow his bicycle so that I could get to the office, and I didn't care how long it was going to take. I would get on that bike and I would ride as long as I needed to get to the parole officer, because I knew that I needed to check in. And that, I don't know, the whole thing just really fell apart. A police officer stopped me and found that, said that there was a warrant out and arrested me, but I was trying so hard to get to the parole officer. I was on my way to see him when I got arrested, and I told the officer that I was on parole, but you know, I was just on my way to the parole office. And again, I can't, it's hard to communicate because nobody knows sign language, but I did the best that I could. And my parole officer has never brought interpreters to any of my visits when he's come to my parents' house, and that's a violation of the ADA law. I'm supposed to have an interpreter so that I can communicate effectively.
May I interrupt? Mr. Moreno, how do you normally communicate with your parole officer?
We write back and forth, yeah.
And what, how do you,
most of the time he just talks to my mom, and I don't know what they're saying.
And how
he'll write down is like the date and time of the next visit. So I don't usually know what's even happening. And then my mom will go off, or my mom will talk to the parole officer, and she can't always remember what he says, and
okay.
She's not really an interpreter either.
Mr. Moreno? Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Mr. Moreno? That's fine.
I need to move this hearing from phase one to phase two, so I'm going to take your response that you were not at your house to meet with your parole officer on November 21st, and I'm going to mark that as being true because you said you were not there to meet with your parole officer. And then we'll move to phase two.
Okay.
So based on Mr. Moreno's admission then, I move to find him delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal vice of company.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson.
Before I go there, there was something that he said. He said that his parole officer told him to be there at 10, and the parole officer went there at 9, and he wasn't there at 9. But he was only across the street getting some food.
No, I didn't hear his parole officer told him to be there at 10.
But that's what he said, but in the allegation, it says that his next report would be at his residence, 11/21/18, at 10 a.m.
What does it say about that?
And he said that the parole officer told him to be there at 10, said he was across the street at the store at 9, and he didn't understand when the parole officer had said 10. And then in the report, it says,
let's ask Mr. Turner. We're going to ask Mr. Turner if there's any notes in the file about that.
What was on 11/22/2018, it said went to the offender's residence for his contact date. He was not there, spoke with his mother, who said she believed that he was at work. Left a non-compliance letter directing the offender to report in on 11/27/2018.
Was there a time indicator?
I can't give you a specific time because a lot of times when you're in the field, you don't immediately put the notes in. So he doesn't give a time. All notes indicate that the next report date would be 11/21/2018 at his residence at 10 a.m.
So, Mr. Moreno, you were at the store at 9 a.m.?
Yes, that's correct.
And you came home at 10?
Yes, I got back home around 9:45, something like that.
So you're probably right. I didn't see that about the 10 or the 9.
We can attempt to contact the PO on the phone, but generally, in my experience, if they're given a time, that's the time that you show up, or just a little bit before.
And he did.
It wouldn't be an hour before.
So, I mean, with additional discussion, if he was told to be there at 10, and he was there at 9:45, I'm not sure he was in violation.
You can always withdraw the motion.
We can call
the parole officer, or if we feel necessary, or if we don't feel necessary, we can have a count of vote.
I would just withdraw my motion.
And then whoever seconded should withdraw their second.
I'll withdraw the second. I was just trying.
I want the paperwork. Just write withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And then just could I have a counter motion then?
I've got to make a counter motion that I need to look at the sheet.
Which? What's this sheet?
And let him or her tell us, give us the time and all of that before we come up with a new motion so that we'll know what we're...
So that's Brandon Walton?
I don't know, we need to get that from Mr.
That's his sign, but...
Yes, that's who it is.
And Mr. Brandon Turner, do you have a number, sir?
Yes, I'm writing down his office number right now.
I think we could just fill out and just see if we don't do it because we never voted.
I'm glad you read that. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing the way this is written up. So, Mr. Moreno, we're going to try to get the parole officer on the phone.
Okay.
Parole officer Brandon Walton.
Officer Riley. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're holding a hearing with Mr. Moreno at this time, and the board was seeking some additional information from you. Let me give you a number to call back, and then I'm going to try you on your cell phone. If you will call back in the immediate future, if you could just call back at 602-542-5668. That's 602-542-5668. Thank you, sir. Now I'm going to try your cell phone, sir. Thank you. To leave a message for you on your office phone, and then we'll call on your cell phone. If you get this information within the next few moments, please give us a call back at 602-542-5668, and we will also try to get your supervisor. Thank you so very much, and look forward to hearing from you, sir. Thank you.
So it'd be Pro Supervisor Wang, W-A-N-G. His number is 602.
Wait 1 second.
Okay, so my motion then was based on Mr. Moreno's admission, moved to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. So Mr. Moreno, we will move to phase two of your hearing, and in phase two, we discuss things in a lot more detail, and you've already given us some of the detail, but we will move to phase two, and before we get into the phase, we will have Mr. Turner give us some background information. So just stand by, and Mr. Turner is going to give us information. So just, we'll be right back in touch with you to talk more. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Moreno was released from ADC custody on 8/27/2018.
I apologize for interrupting. It is your intention that this part not be interpreted?
Yes, we will interpret it. Yes, ma'am.
As, I'm trying to speak slow enough.
No, it's just that he can't see me now because the camera was moved.
Okay, I see.
Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. Let me know when you're ready.
Go whenever you are ready.
Okay. Moreno was released from ADC custody on 8/27/2018 and arrested on 12/7/2018 by the Arizona Department of Public Safety on ADC warrant. No new charges were noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 12/7/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 6/10/2019 with 13 abscondes. Current conviction, 2015, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2000, commitment A, theft, 1 year. 2001, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year. 2008, theft, means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2009, theft, means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2015, theft, means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2.3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 1. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2003, TIS release, completed 2 months. 2011, TIS release, completed 7 months. Disciplinary is minimum with intoxicants noted. Other arrest, 1996, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1997, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 1997, intimidation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, theft, Arizona juvenile probation. He has a GB score of G5V6.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Moreno, we have a written summary of what occurred while you were on community supervision. And it looks like you were released to live with your mother at 718 East Carter. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and you stayed there the whole time that you were on supervision?
Yes.
Okay, were you working?
Some. I did some cash pay work, like working, repairing houses and things like that, mostly just for family members.
Okay. Like day labor or?
Yeah, home repair, things like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Odd jobs.
Okay, and were you, you were responsible to submit some urine samples for to task, and those were both negative.
Yes.
So you don't have a drug problem, Mr. Moreno?
No, I do not.
No drug problem. Okay. Okay, so what were you doing when the DPS arrested you?
I was trying to go to meet my friend who was willing to let me borrow their bike so that I could go and visit my parole officer. Another guy who I knew said, I know where your friend is, I know where the bike is. And so we were going over to find my friend with the bike, and the officer stopped me at that time and arrested me. The bike was right there, and I was ready to get on it and go, and they stopped me. I don't really know why, but when they ran my name, they found that I had a warrant. Now, I wasn't aware at the time that I had a warrant. I tried to explain that I was on my way to my parole officer, you know, to discuss the situation, and they essentially, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I wasn't using drugs, I wasn't stealing anything, I wasn't doing anything illegal. I was just trying to get to my parole officer, and I don't even know why the officers approached me. But like I said, that's when they discovered that I had a warrant, and so they arrested me at that time. They said that they were going to call my parole officer, but instead they entered my name into their computer system.
Right.
And the computer system said that I had a warrant, which I wasn't aware of at that time.
Okay. How far, Mr. Moreno, how far is it from where you were to your parole officer's office? You know, 5 miles, 10 miles?
It's just a couple of blocks, maybe a block or two. That's all. It was just like right across the way. I was going to get the bike and then head over, and that was it. I don't know why.
Okay. So, Mr. Moreno, when you met your parole officer in the past on those other home visits, what time did you meet him?
10 o'clock. Always 10 o'clock.
It was always 10 o'clock.
Sometimes he'd show up at 10:05 or 10:08, but never past 10:15, always 10 o'clock every month. And we were doing fine. I was on time and he was on time and we were really consistent. And then it was just this one time, he showed up at like 9:11, I think was the time that my mom wrote down. It said the time that he signed the report, it said 9:11. And I was supposed to get in touch with him and try to see him in person, but I didn't have a phone to contact him and I didn't have a car to go to his office.
Right.
And I will say again, like, I don't have good communication with him. He never brings an interpreter, and the ADA law says that I'm supposed to have an interpreter. He talks to my mom about my case and about my parole, and that's a violation of privacy. It's supposed to be between me and my parole officer, and it never is. He's violating the Americans with Disabilities Act, and I need the information that he's explaining, but I never get it myself. The very first month we met, I asked, can you bring an interpreter? And he said, I don't know, but he would look into it. And then the second time, he said that the interpreters are really expensive. And I said that because I'm a deaf person and the ADA requires I have effective communication, that I needed to have an interpreter so that I know what's going on. But he never was really willing to do that. He would just write down the date and the time of the next visit. And he said if I found my own interpreter to let him know, and then he would use my interpreter, but that's not how that's supposed to go. And then from there, him and my mom just talked, and I never knew what they were saying.
Mr. Moreno, may I ask, how do you talk with others in the prison?
I don't communicate with anybody here. I just sit by myself, and I really don't have anything to do. I don't have any communication. Sometimes I'll watch TV. Sometimes the captioning is on. Sometimes it's not, but, you know.
Okay.
Until dinner time, and sometimes I'll try to like write letters, and or every once in a while I can get on a TTY and make phone calls to my family with the TTY, but that's not a very effective method of communication. I'm not really interested in having friends in prison. This isn't my kind of place, and these aren't my kind of people. I'm a good Christian boy. I'm a church boy, and I don't really want to socialize with the other inmates. I'm okay with the fact that I'm separate from them.
Okay, Mr. Rennan, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you.
Does anyone have a question?
Okay, Mr. Rennan, we're coming up. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Turner has some more information.
Yes, ma'am. On the day of the visit, a non-compliance letter was left on 11/21, directing the offender to report on 11/27 to the office by 9 a.m., which he failed to report for. So,
right.
He was given additional direction, so he could have reported in on the 27th. Also on the 29th, Mr. Walton spoke with the offender's emergency contact, Brenda Emmons. She stated that she had not heard from the offender in several days. Asked if Brenda had heard with him that let him know he needed to report in immediately.
So, Mr. Moreno, who is Brenda Emmons?
It's my godmother. She's a member of the same church. She lives in Nevada. But most of my family lives in Nevada. My kids and my wife and my church family and my pastor and all of those folks are still in Nevada. I tried to explain to the parole officer that I wanted to transfer to Nevada because my support system is there. My family in Phoenix, they can't do much for me. They're not very supportive. They're not very helpful. They have tried to be helpful, but, you know, it's just not, it's hard for me to work with them, and they're not even very helpful getting me in touch with the parole officer when I need to. My family in Nevada is very helpful and very understanding, and I have the resources there that I don't have here, but he would never allow me to transfer.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, we are coming up on the end of your hearing. Mr. Neal has a question for you.
I just have to ask you this. Did he see the non-compliance letter that was left at his house on the 21st of November? Did he see that letter?
Yes, I did. Yeah, okay. And it said that he showed up at 9:11. That's the time that he wrote down on that letter. And that's, I mean, that shows you that that's not our appointment time.
Okay, sir. The 9/11 you referred to is the reporting date that you were given for your next visit at the parole office, not the time he was at your house. Thank you.
No, the time and the date at the bottom, it did say to go and see him at his office. And I did see that, but I had no transportation. I'm not familiar with the bus schedule. None of us in my family have any money. My sister was sick and couldn't help me. I really didn't know what to do, and that's why I was trying to borrow a bicycle so that I could get over there. And I was on my way to see him.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, we're coming up to the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything you'd like the board to consider that you haven't already told us, so please don't repeat something you have already said before. Is there anything else?
I would just say that I do want to comply, and I need some additional support. I am asking that there be consideration for the fact that I need communication access and I haven't had that. It's difficult for me to keep track of anything, and it's not just this, it's doctor's appointments and all of those kinds of things. I am deaf and I have a disability, and the ADA is supposed to protect us, and interpreters are supposed to be available for me and everyone else like me anywhere that we go. And I understand that writing notes is the officer's method, and I'm not going to sue anyone, but at the same time, I need the opportunity to understand what is going on in my own case and what my parole officer expects of me. I know that this gentleman has never worked with deaf individuals and interpreters before. I understand that. And that failure to report letter, I understand that I tried as well. I would really like to be able to have access to communication. I would like to be able to understand what's going on so that I have the opportunity to comply with my terms and I can get through this. Brenda is a friend of mine, that emergency contact, and I know that I have a place to live in Nevada if I'm able to transfer so that I can get back on my feet, be with my wife and my kids. My wife has a job at Walmart now and the kids are in school, and they are looking forward to when I can come home. So that when I'm released and when my parole can be transferred, so that I can get a job and I can support my family. I can do a lot of things. I've worked in construction in the past. I've made good money. And me and my entire family are waiting for those days again that I can be a part of them. Arizona's been hard for me. I haven't had a good experience here, and I'm looking forward to going back to Nevada. And I will not hold anything against my parole officer. I understand that there was a miscommunication, but I hope that my side of the story can be considered as well.
Thank you, Mr. Moreno. I just want to add for you that this board has no authority to transfer you to Nevada. That you would have to apply for an interstate compact, and there's an application process and a fee and et cetera. So that's not what this board does. That would be through your Department of Corrections that you would pursue that. Okay, sir. Now, the board is going to go into discussion. We do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So you can listen to or hear everything that we say, and we just ask that you just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Moreno has done two previous terms of supervision successfully. And he says Arizona has not been good to him, although he's been in prison in Arizona three times. So I'm a little bit perplexed about that. I think there genuinely was a communication issue between him and his parole officer, but in the letter that was left at his house, it appears that written communication is one of the surefire ways to communicate with him. In that letter, it specifically gave a date and a time to be at the parole office. And I don't think not having the money to get there is a valid excuse to not comply with conditions of your parole officer. I think the letter was clear. We have a copy of the letter here. So I would certainly like to hear input from fellow board members on this, because I am perplexed. Mr. Neal.
Okay, well, first of all, Mr. Moreno has misinterpreted the ADA. It does not require an interpreter. It requires a reasonable accommodation for anybody with a disability. And in this case, Mr. Moreno not only speaks English, he understands English, and he can read and write English. So if the PO gives him a letter that says to report at a specific date and time, and the location is listed, a reasonable accommodation has been made for Mr. Moreno's disability. It states in the report somewhere that the original date of November 21st was given to him in written format. So there is no issue of communication. This hearing could be conducted strictly by writing and reading, but it's not an effective way for a long hearing. But he stated himself that it's only a few blocks from where he lives to where the parole office is. But then he turned around and said another time he wasn't sure where it was at, and he made very conflicting statements about all of that. But if it's only a few blocks, why didn't he walk? There's a telephone number. He could have had his emergency contact make a phone call, or his mother, or someone else that can speak on the phone to at least jump in and let the PO know he's trying to solve the issue. So I don't think he's a good candidate for return to community supervision. And if he finishes his time, he can go home to Nevada as soon as he gets out.
Mr. Quinones?
Yes, just a quick follow-up with you, Ms. Rittenhouse, and I just have a fundamental problem that he's missing for 13 days. I just don't know how he couldn't get to his parole officer for 13 days. Not to mention that it seems pretty convenient that he was stopped on his bicycle the day he was trying to seize parole officer. So I have a problem with this.
Mr. Johnson?
I just disagree. I think fundamentally he's just had some problems communicating. He's completed community supervision on two other times. You know, one of them was for 6 months that he was doing community supervision, that he had to have some communication. And he states that when his PO came there, that he didn't know what the communication was between the PO and his mom. He was just on the write down a time for the next time that he would have to appear. He says he was trying to get in contact with him, but no one would actually help him, so he didn't really know what to do. You know, it's not like he was an absconder. He didn't abscond, according to his mom. He was still staying there the whole time, so he didn't abscond. He didn't go somewhere else. I think there was just a communication problem with him. And I think, you know, at least, you know, it says to me, you know, everything he says seemed to be pretty legitimate, and it does. I can't really tell for sure on the notification letter that says he's supposed to have a staffing on 11/27/18, and then I don't know what that exactly after that, if that's 9/11 meant that's the time that he came by there. Or
that's the time that he, if I may.
Yes.
That was the time he was directed. He was to be there on that date, no later than 9/11.
Okay. So that's, you know, that's what I see on there. But I don't think he was out committing any crimes. I don't think he's not on drugs. There's no indication that he was doing something other than what he said. I think that, you know, because of the communication problem, that he should be given the opportunity to be placed back on community supervision. Plus, you know, if he had absconded before or some other times, then I would be more willing. But he's completed every time he's completed his community supervision, both in 03 and 11, and there's no indication that he was committing a crime or doing something else. And, you know, it is a coincidence that he was stopped on the day that he was actually going. But I think he's, you know, being pretty honest. I don't. That he just had a problem communicating. He doesn't have an assistance here. So I would think that he needs to be put back on his community supervision and try to get that worked out.
Dr. Wright,
do you have
thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
He's just indicating the video is freezing. So can you just give us a second to see if it'll work itself out? I apologize.
That's okay.
So what do I need to do now? I need to start over.
Is it working?
I mean, it's still freezing right now.
It's freezing.
It's glitching. Yeah, he can't see.
Okay.
So just give it a second. Sometimes it'll kind of reset itself. Let's just give it 1 second and then it won't move.
Not the best technology.
No, it's still glitching.
It was freezing, but he could still communicate.
He's indicating that the video screen on his end is freezing and glitching, so he can't see the interpreter.
Right, yeah, it
froze
up.
Still freezing.
What if the speaker keeps on the video keeps on freezing?
Okay, hang up the call back.
You want to do that, Doctor? You want to just call back, or?
We can call back, but then he would not be able to, we wouldn't be able to communicate with him.
Just to see if it unfreezes it, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if it unfreezes.
Just sign off and then reconnect.
Okay, we're going to see if we can reconnect. Okay, we're going to sign off at this point. I'll be right back, see if it will connect, sir.
Please say that for the phone, sir.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
If it doesn't straighten up, the only alternative is continue the hearing.
It's like buffering or something. It must be the phone line.
Good. Is it better now?
Yes, he is indicating it's better.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I was about to state is, from my perspective, he's a very intelligent individual. To be sure, he has some, he's had some challenges, or have some challenges along the way. However, he was able to, apparently, at some point, he was able to communicate, someone was communicating with his parole officer. He said that it was his mother, I believe. But if they were communicating in writing, I don't know why he was not included on that, as that communication was taking place. I feel that under the circumstances, this is that he's very intelligent, and as an intelligent individual, I feel that at this point in time, it would be in his best interest, as well as best interest of the citizens of Arizona, for him just to complete the next, 4 months, and then he can go to Nevada and be with his family and would not have to be in Orange again. That's just my feeling. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then, and that is based on information in warrant 2018-W3491, our conversation with Mr. Marino, information provided by Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Moreno was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 13 days, during which time his parole officer did not know of his whereabouts or activities. Second?
Agreed. I disagree.
Motion by myself, seconded by, was it Mr. Neal?
Yes.
Mr. Neal, agreed by Dr. White, agreed by Mr. Quinones, and disagreed by Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Moreno, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. We're showing you a release date of June 10th, 2019. On that date, you'll be released. You'll be free of your obligation to the Arizona criminal justice system. You'll be able to move to Nevada and be with your family on that date, sir. We thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. And your hearing is concluded. If you please give let your CO3 know that you're finished. And we thank you, Ms. Interpreter, as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Your hearing is concluded.